The Red Nation interview series is brought to you by Derby Star Canada. Visit derbystar.ca and see specialty soccer balls designed with development in mind for all ages. Play soccer with quality like the German and Dutch at derbystar.ca.
You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Earlier today, I had the pleasure of speaking with Paul Stalteri. A native of Toronto, Ontario, Paul Stalteri is one of the most distinguished Canadians ever to have pulled on a pair of boots. He holds the all-time caps record for Canada and was part of the national team that won the 2000 CONCACAF Gold Cup. At the club level, Stalteri excelled playing at the highest levels of the game with German clubs Werder Bremen and Borussia Mönchengladbach and with Tottenham and Fulham in the English Premiership. He was an integral part of the Werder Bremen side that won both the Bundesliga Championship and the German Cup during the 2003-2004 campaign. He remains the only Canadian player to have earned a Bundesliga winner's medal. In this interview, Paul and I discuss his recent retirement as a player, his exceptional career at the club and country levels, the current state of soccer in Canada, youth player development in Germany, and his current and future plans. And now, Paul Stalteri. Paul, you recently announced your retirement as a player. I'd like to start off by giving you my congratulations on an absolutely fantastic career, and thank you for everything you've done for Canadian soccer.
No, thanks very much. I really appreciate that. We made the announcement a little while ago, and it was just it came at the right time for myself and my family, and it was a decision that we had thought about for a long time, and something that I thought was at this particular moment in my career the right thing to do, and to move ahead and start to put my focus on some other things in life.
A lot of very positive articles have been written about you via various media outlets over the last several weeks, and a lot of highly regarded and important people in Canadian soccer have spoken glowingly of you and what you accomplished. Now that you've had some time to reflect upon your career, how do you feel about what you achieved and how your playing career played out?
Well, I couldn't have really asked for anything more in terms of both my club career. First, my club career, I probably couldn't have asked for anything more, being on some, played on some fantastic teams, some real quality world-class players I played with in Bremen and in Tottenham, and, winning a championship and then a cup in the same year, doing the double, the first team, being a part of the first team in the club's history to do that in Bremen was always... is and will remain always something special for myself in terms of that, and also then played in England and had a really good squad we assembled there in Tottenham, and then I'm pretty proud of also the fact of keeping two teams up from the relegation, joining them in the middle of the season when they were in a real relegation battle, sitting at the bottom of the league, and managing on the last day to save the team from going down. So being a part of those two teams also was something I'm very proud of, because it was the first time in my career that I'd played on teams, fighting for a relegation, and being in that situation is a completely different one than playing at the top of the table, that's for sure. And so in my club career, I really couldn't have asked for anything more, and I'm well pleased with it. Obviously, with the national team, I would have loved to have been a part of one of the qualifying campaigns where we finally got ourselves into the last phase of the hex and given it a real go. But probably if that's one little part of my career that remains that I'm a little bit maybe disappointed at, was maybe not being able to help lead the team into that final group of qualifying in the campaigns that I was part of.
You leave the Canadian men's national team as the most capped player in history with 84 caps. I'm sure I'm not alone in saying this, but if I was to point to the ideal role model for the next generation of Canadian national team players, you'd certainly be one of the names that I would mention. I'm curious, when you were first starting out with the national team, who are the players that you looked up to as role models and who set the standards that helped you achieve the things you did with the Canadian men's national team?
Well, we were coming into a transitional time when I first started playing out. Bobby was still the manager at that time, but it was you know, I just played maybe one friendly or so, and then just got myself over to Germany, and the team was kind of set in terms of they've been apart together for a long time, and they were having a, they were actually in the last phase of the Hex at that moment, so the team was pretty settled, and they had some well experienced players at that moment. You know, guys like Mark Watson, Frank Gallup still playing, these kind of players. Obviously, Craig Forrest in goal. So the team was actually, you know, Randy, Alex Bunbury up front, along with Paul Pesce-Solito. So it was a team that was well established and been together for a long time. And then when Holger took over, it was more of a transitional phase where a few of those guys are still were in the squad, like Mark Watson and stuff like that. So it was my time. It was kind of a new phase in terms of what was the national team was that Bobby had, Leonard Rizzi had assembled for a number of years. That was a real transitional phase that it went through once Holger had taken over.
On the press conference that the Canadian Soccer Association held for you last month, you spoke positively about the current state of the national team program and the current leadership under Victor Montagliani and Peter Montopoli. What are your thoughts on the current state of the men's national team in particular, and what do you think it's going to take for Canada to make that next step and qualify for a World Cup again?
Well, the point I was making was just the fact that, you know, like we went through five games of qualifying in a difficult group, a very difficult group where probably one of the harder groups that anyone else had at that stage, and we were well on our way. We had, you know, we had, I think, one, two goals against during the whole, during those five matches, and like I said, maybe a goal, maybe one chance that we would have taken in an earlier match in the qualifying rounds, we probably wouldn't even have had to worry about the result in Honduras. So, all, you know, the point making is that the team wasn't that far off. The team was very close to qualifying. Obviously, the result in Honduras kind of is a big blemish onto that squad. But let's not take away from the fact that Stephen Hart did with the team and where he led that squad into, you know, the first time in, I don't know, I can't remember how many qualifyings where we were actually in with a chance going into the last game. And maybe with a bit of luck, like I said, if we, you know, one bounce that might have gone our way or one chance that went a yard or so wide in the dying minutes of one of the games, that goes in and we're already in the next round. And things right now we'd be talking about what are our chances after three games to qualify for the World Cup and not what kind of a dismal situation the men's national team is in. So I think I like to take the positives out of that group and look forward, and also and I'm not saying that everything is right. Obviously there's a number of things that still need to be fixed, and I'm a firm believer that these things don't get fixed from one qualifying campaign to another. I think it's a situation where if you want the men's national team to improve, the program needs to improve from the ages 8 to 10, 8 to 12 years old, and then you'll see that those improvements take, you know, a good 10 years before you start to see that come into play. Now, obviously you can make a few things, a few adjustments in the next few years, and maybe help yourself out a little bit better in preparation for qualifying. But again, one bounce goes in, and you might find yourself in the last round of qualifying. One doesn't go in, and you're in the exact same situation. So to really improve the national team and really improve the men's national team, we need to improve a generation of footballers and not on a four-year cycle.
You spent a large part of your life pursuing your club career in Germany and England, and thus were away from Canada for the majority of your adult life. Now that you're back in Canada, how are you enjoying being back full-time in Canada, and how different is the Canadian soccer landscape compared to when you left Canada as a 20-year-old?
Well, it's much different, obviously. If you take it from, first of all, from a professional aspect, there's a number of teams playing in the top league, which there wasn't 15, 16 years ago. We had some Toronto, Montreal playing in the A League, Vancouver playing in the A League. At the time, that was obviously the name of the league. But nobody in the top league. Now we have three teams playing there with a big advantage. What should be a big advantage, should I say, is for young Canadian players to now play in some professional clubs in their academies and really develop themselves and hopefully push themselves into the first team, which is something you know I still like to see being done a lot more with the Canadian teams, you know, them pushing their own Canadians, our own Canadians into their first team a little bit more than what's being done, and hopefully along years. But in terms of the club, the amateur clubs, I think the big difference is now that you have a lot more academies involved in soccer in Ontario, which is a major difference from when I had played. It was just basically your local clubs or the amateur clubs that were around and nothing to do with any academy. So probably those are the two major differences in terms of the professional aspect and the club aspect with the youth soccer.
The Canadian national team is currently without a full-time head coach, and there's been a lot of debate about which qualities the next manager should have, and even whether he should be a Canadian or a foreign coach. You played for a number of excellent and varied head coaches over the course of your career at both club and country levels. What are your thoughts on the type of person the national team should be looking for to lead it over the next several years?
Well, again, I mean, I'm still a firm believer that for us to really improve as a nation, we need to improve, like I said earlier, in you know, our youth development from the 8 to 12-year-old bracket of a generation of players. And, I know I've said that already, but I'll say it again, because what I mean by that is a new coach can come in and again, have the bounce, have a little bit of luck, and you might qualify, you might not qualify. It's a very difficult job for one coach to come in and completely change the fortunes of the national team. The men's team is not going to have a great improvement with any coach that comes in, I would say, in terms of he's not going to make each individual player that much better than he already is. The players are already accomplished professionals. They've already set themselves up. A lot of them are in their mid to late 20s, so now he will set the team up in a certain way and the way he wants to play and so forth and so on. He may be a tactical coach who's very good tactically. He may be a good coach in that aspect. But in terms of the individual players, him coming in or whoever comes in is not going to make the individual player that much better. So it's important that we realize whatever coach comes in, he has a squad to deal with. It's not a big squad. It's not a massive squad in terms of numbers, experience. He lost a lot of players in the last round of qualifying, more or less, so I'm sure he'll work with a lot of the young players. So it could be a transitional period. We just don't know what his plans will be. So it's not an easy situation for any coach who comes in, and it's not a situation where if we get a big-name coach or a big foreign coach that he's going to come here and work miracles. It just simply doesn't work like that.
One of your biggest successes at the international level was winning the Gold Cup with Canada back in 2000. Another big debate about the Canadian national team currently centers on this summer's Gold Cup and whether or not the focus should be on using it to cap players and give young players experience, or to go with veteran players who might not be part of the next World Cup qualifying, but who could give Canada the best chance to possibly win the tournament again and add something positive to the program. You know, what are your thoughts there?
Well, it all remains to be seen if there is a permanent coach in place. Obviously, he'll have. I'm sure if he's in place, that he will look to play with. Probably, I would imagine most likely only players who would be available to him in the next World Cup qualifying, because that would imagine be his most his first and foremost goal when the CSA do hire or hire a coach. So whatever coach is hired, I think that's going to, if there is a coach, should I say hired, that's going to play a key role, because like I said, if there's one there, I'm sure he's not going to want to play with anybody he thinks aren't going to be available to him for World Cup qualifying. He's going to go with players who he imagines are going to be along for the cycle of the next World Cup qualifying, and that's difficult to plan because it's still a number of years ahead. So my take on that personally, I would go with that as well. I mean, I wouldn't. I'd be in a situation where if I was to pick a team, I would pick the team based on who I think are going to be the key players come World Cup qualifying for Russia in 2018, and then pick some good young players around those key players that I still think will be around come that time. So I would have a good balanced squad. I would try to have a good balanced squad like that. But again, I would probably tend to not want to pick a player who I think are not going to be available for the World Cup qualifying when it rolls around for the next time.
You've previously spoken about how the highlight of your club career was winning the double of the Bundesliga Championship and the German Cup back in 2003-2004. You were an integral player on that Werder Bremen team and remain the only Canadian player to have earned a Bundesliga's winner's medal. Many Canadians have gone to Europe and Germany in particular over the years, but none have scaled the heights that you were able to. I'm curious, why do you think you had the remarkable success that you achieved in your career?
Well, it's difficult to say, I guess. You know, I joined a club with a big tradition in German football. I mean, they came off a situation where I just joined them a year before that. They had changed managers a few times because before that they had the same manager for I don't know 12 or 13 years in Alder Rehagel. So it was a transitional period after they were trying to find the right coach. But in terms of that, they were always a team who were fighting at the top of the table. And they went through a transitional phase with a new coach for the long term in Thomas Schaaf, a new manager in Klaus Allofs who were set out a long term plan, and they brought in some really key players, and the team just got better and better. And obviously, I was a part of that. And you know, we had won the championship with some absolute world class players at the time who were at the top of their game and really dominating the Bundesliga. So sometimes I was fortunate enough to be a part of that building team and that new generation of players that the new manager and new sport director at the time put together.
Highly touted 18-year-old Canadian midfielder Samuel Piette is currently pursuing his club career in Germany with Fortuna Düsseldorf, and a number of Canadian players are currently plying their trade at various levels in Germany. I'm wondering, what makes that country a good development environment for not just Canadian players, but really players from anywhere in the world?
Well, first, I'll answer the latter part of the question first, because I think it's a situation where when I'd first gone to Germany 15 years ago or 16 years ago or so, the country was in, the Bundesliga was known, similar to what the Serie A is right now, an older, experienced league with a lot of older players in it. And, you know, that kind of, that there was a generation of players in that league that were there for a long time. But then basically they kind of missed a group of players that never really came through after that for a little while in Germany. And they changed their youth system, the youth policy after the Euro 2000, where they really were embarrassed on an international stage. So they changed their youth policies, they changed their youth programs at that time. And now, like I said before, they had a big main focus on 8 to 12-year-old players at the time, and the generation of players is now coming through in the last number of years, and you can see what that has paid off for the national team, because they've really focused themselves on their youth, pushing themselves, getting youth players, more and more German youth players playing in their national team as well, which helps in the clubs, which helps the national team. And I think when I made my debut I'd said this earlier when I made my debut at 22, I was considered as still a young player at the time in Germany. And if you're making your debut now in Germany at 22, if you haven't made your debut, should I say, at 22 or before 22, you probably won't be making it. So it's a much different policy. The youth play, a lot more young players playing in the league at 18, 19-year-olds making their debut is not very uncommon anymore, which at the time when I went there would have been almost next to impossible. And of course, for Canadians, it's a real good chance, because one of their main attractions for international players is that their international rule is a little bit more aspiring for Canadians because of the rules that they have in place. It's not as strict as it is in Spain or in Italy, for example, or in France. They allow much more international players to be a part of their squads and their clubs. So it's a situation where, for Canadians, it's great opportunity to have a chance to play.
Germany is one of the top soccer nations in the world. As a player who excelled there and spent so many years playing in Germany, in addition to the youth policy and youth development, what are some of the main things you learned from the German approach to the game that you think could be valuable to developing and pushing the game forward here in Canada?
Well, you know, their belief in the basics. They believe in the fundamentals of the game, discipline. Their facilities are impeccable. They have some fantastic pitches that the youth players play on. Their equipment that they use, from balls all the way to this the right standard size goals for certain ages, they have all available. So they really have it down pat a huge defining aspect as to why they're able to produce such so many good young players as well.
In my years contributing to Red Nation Online, one of my favorite features that we've run on the website was Ian Clark's first 90 article on you, in which you spoke about your first match in the Bundesliga and your early years breaking into the first team with Werder Bremen. You know, we received a lot of positive comments and feedbacks on that piece from people in Canada, but also from people in Germany who all clearly had a lot of respect for you as a player and as a person. Do you still keep in touch with a lot of people in Germany? And if so, how was the news of your retirement announcement received there?
Yeah, I do. I still have good ties with many people in different aspects of life in Germany, not just football, but other you know, friends that I've met along the way, media that have always continuously followed my career path, and they've covered the story or you know, covered the announcement as well in the time, and I've given a number of interviews in German over the last couple of weeks as well. So, you know, I do keep a good eye in the events that's going on in Germany, a lot of things that are happening there, both in the football world and other things as well in terms of the country. And like I said, I have friends and colleagues and a number of contacts in all the different aspects. So definitely close ties to people in Germany for sure.
On the conference call to announce your retirement, you spoke of a desire to continue to be part of Canadian soccer and to contribute your knowledge and experience towards growing and developing the game here in Canada. You also mentioned that the CSA has already sent you on some CONCACAF coaching courses. You know, I know it's still early in the day, but is coaching the area that you want to focus on now that your playing days are over?
Well, I said before, I probably will remain, I'm most likely in some aspect of the game in Canada. But I first and foremost will get my coaching badges and get my license done and progress with that, because I think that's a good start to any footballer's career once they've come to an end to get their badges and learn that aspect of the game from that side. Whether I continue to use those in terms of coaching or maybe go into the management side of the game, I don't know yet, but I think it's a good start to have that, to see the other side of the game from a different point of view. So that's my immediate plans is to get that done and do some youth coaching along the way and start to learn the trade that way from the ground up, which I think is always a good, very important aspect, is to learn things from the bottom up and get some from experience. And then where that takes me, well, we'll have to wait and see, obviously.
One initiative that you're already involved in and that is related to player development is bringing the Derby Star line of soccer balls from Germany and Holland here to Canada. I'm wondering, what makes that line of products different, and why did you get involved with bringing the company to Canada?
Well, first I got involved with the company just because my son started using the balls in Germany, and I was coaching a little team that he was a part of, and they had a bunch of balls that they only used in Germany called Derby Star, and it's a line of balls that we used in Bremen, so I knew the company very well. We used them as our match ball for my entire career there, so I knew the company and I knew what a fantastic product they had were, but what I wasn't aware of at the time was the youth balls that they used there called Light Ball, the Light Ball system. And they put that into play a number of years ago in German and Dutch football, where the players between 4 and 12 use a different weighted ball. And it was so intriguing, that the fact of how much easier the ball rolled on the pitch, how much easier the players were able to strike the ball, move the ball around, develop their basic skills. I could see it in a number of weeks just being part of the team, how much easier and how much better the players got and how much more they improved just using a ball that they felt confident in and they were having a lot of fun with, because it was a ball that weighted perfectly for their age group, really. And that was a key to me getting asking some questions and wondering why something like this wasn't available in Canada, first of all, and also coming back to Canada for a number of years before that, watching some youth soccer at that time when my kid was coming back, and maybe being part of one or two weeks of a little house league program, and the balls that they were using at the time and the standard of those balls being so poor, watching kids not being interested in the game, picking grass on the sides, simply because, you know, sometimes they just couldn't even move the ball and kick the ball because the ball was just too hard or too soft, or the ball just didn't move on the pitch. So these balls intrigue me in that aspect, that it just captures the confidence of the kids. They can move them so well, and I just felt that it was something I would love to bring to Canada and introduce to Canadians. And like I said, it's a huge key aspect to any, you know, we speak about long-term development or long-term player development here in Canada, and that goes right alongside that thought process, because it's been in play in Germany for 10, 15 years now, and it's a mandatory system being used in Germany where all the kids are using these lighter-weighted balls, which, you know, you can see how much success they've had in producing some real high-quality players from 17, 18-year-olds up right now who are dominating major parts of European football.
Most of the debate around youth player development in Canada in recent years has focused on the importance of learning from experienced and trained coaches. I'm wondering, you know, how important is it that kids play with the right equipment and balls during those formative years? It's not something that's top of mind for most people, but it really does make a lot of sense when, you know, listening to you talk about it.
Well, we don't have any focus on, like I said, when I was coming back to Canada during my playing days and watching, but we don't focus enough on the main aspect of the game, which is balls, you know, or even footwear for that matter. But in particular balls, we just have no focus on the importance of a ball. We think it's round, and the kids can go out and play and kick it, which is far the furthest thing from the truth. I mean, the Germans and the Dutch, they have such an important they weigh such an important factor on what kind of ball the kids are using, and are they able to use to strike it? Are they developing well with it? Is it moving along the pitch? Is it of the highest quality? These are the things that they judge and they put their time and money into in their player development, alongside obviously coaches, facilities, pitches, things that we tend not to put our time in. We're sometimes more we worry more about what how many track suits the kids have or how many uniforms the kids have and how good do they look, and as opposed to, you know, what kind of quality ball are they learning to use to basically learn the basic fundamentals of soccer, which is striking a ball, kicking a ball, dribbling a ball, these things. And if they can't do that and they're not having fun doing that, then there's no point. They won't continue in the game. Now, if they can use the proper ball and, you know, have the confidence and start to enjoy the game, they're going to love playing with it. You know, which kind of person loves to go on a golf course if they can't hit a golf ball 250 yards down the fairway? Nobody was going to go back if they can't do that. Whereas kids would have the same thing in a child. If a child can't strike the ball and have success striking the ball, the chances are they're not going to want to go back onto the pitch and play that sport. So our main focus has to be more on basic, alongside coaching, of course, like we said, facilities, like we said. But if the ball isn't the proper ball for kids to be kicking, they're going to have no success and they're going to have no fun playing the game.
The German national team is perennially one of the best in the world, and it's again one of the favorites heading into Brazil 2014. In addition to some of the big veteran names on Germany, youngsters such as Mesut Ozil, André Schürrle, Thomas Müller, Mario Götze, and Marco Reus are key young players in the squad who likely all trained with Derby Star balls during their developmental years. Obviously, a lot of factors go into the development of elite athletes and elite players, but I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about the status and history of the Derby Star line in Germany.
Well, Derby Star, the ball itself has been, the company's been around for 50, 60 years now in German football. It's known as basically, you know, their slogan is the ball, really, because they're known right the way through Germany as being the best ball in Germany, or even in European football, or even in the world, kind of thing. Now that goes from a match ball all the way down to a kid's training ball. So the brand is recognized throughout the football world, overseas in Europe, and in Germany and Holland especially, where they dominate a big part of the market there for market share for balls. And you know, of course, the kids have most of the kids, 65-70% of the kids are using those balls, using Derby Star balls. They're all using the light system. So to say, nowadays, kids like Marco Reus and Götze would have definitely used them in their youth development.
What has been the response so far in Canada to the line of Derby Star balls from both players of different ages and coaches and technical directors?
I've met with a number of technical directors. I've met with a number of regions when they had meetings, OSA, CSA, all the way up to, obviously, all the way from regions all the way up to the OSA and the CSA, who have had, they've seen the ball, they've seen the quality of balls for the youth, the light balls. Absolutely fantastic feedback that we've had. We've done a number of test programs, pilot programs throughout the summer when I got back in August of last year. And, so to say, they passed with flying colors, obviously, in Canada. I mean, I was never worried about them, of the quality of the ball and the success it would have in terms of players loving them and kids absolutely loving the feel of the ball, just because I had used them already in Germany, and also the fact that the entire country of both countries, Germany and Holland, use them. So, they're leading the world in terms of youth development. So, it was definitely something I was sure that would be a success here. It's been now from the OSA to the CSA, also something that they like the idea. They want to get it into play. The OSA have passed it into their long-term development program as well, letting the light balls being played amongst the youth teams as of 2013 as well. So fantastic feedback, not only from decision makers, technical directors of clubs, but also from more importantly, the individual players that are using them, and their coaches who have come along and purchased the balls, and or even academies who have got the balls into their academies as well. No complaints, nothing but fantastic feedback and some real good momentum moving forward for us, really.